to read from the Feast of the Tabernacles, Seventh Seal by Maitreya. Question, when did the seven seals form? Some people say, oh, when did the seven seals start? Was it when the first begotten Son went through the eternal divine path? Or was it even before that, that God knew about the seven seals? The seven seals really started in eternity. Eternally, God knew intuitively what is the best way to create an environment where humans can progress to the highest in the fastest way possible. God already knew what is the best way to do it. That is why when it says that He projected His Spirit to the world, He can easily go through it. It is just like us. As we learn our lessons each lifetime, next lifetime it will become easier and easier to remember. It is like a lot of humans go through all their lives and even do not think about God. They are not interested in meditation. They do not want to know about other religions. But we do. Why? We have been in many religions and meditated for so many lifetimes that in this lifetime we suddenly felt that we are different. We want to do differently than everyone else. We are not like everyone else that like the regular life. So it becomes easier and easier to remember these things. We know it is in eternity. Have humans ever known about the seven seals? As we read Thoth, the holiest of the holies, we can easily see that in the beginning, the first begotten Son knew about the seven seals. Of course, He came back as Adam, as the spiritual teacher for the first humans who were created by God. He taught them the eternal divine path. They knew about the eternal divine path. They knew about meditation, awakening your spiritual forces, communities of light, and everything. But, of course, what happened? They did not listen to Him. That is where the Garden of Eden and the fall of man came, because man became self-centered. Instead of listening to God and the Christ who came, which was the Spirit of God who came to humanity, they became self-centered. They did not listen to Him, and they fell. That made them fall from the grace. The falling from grace is hell. That is what hell is, really. If you do not have the grace, that is it. You are in hell. You have fallen. Therefore, as is explained, they fell more and more and more. Eventually, they became so gross that He gave them the skins of flesh, a body. Then, until the flood of Noah, He just had enough of them. The next topic is, how did we lose the knowledge of the seven seals? That is how we lost it. Again here, how many people are listening to the mission and this revelation? This is the most fantastic revelation that has ever come to humanity, and it exactly explains what was God's plan. How many people are even in this room right now? Very few people come here and listen to it. They think they already know. They do not. They do not already know. That is the problem. So that is how we lost the knowledge. At the time of the flood of Noah, God closed our third eye. He created a new man. That is why we do not have our third eyes open. We have to meditate. We have to awaken our spiritual forces in order to have our third eyes open and see the spiritual world. There is a question here. Question. Maitreya, when we leave our bodies and God sends us back in a new body, if we know, however many seals of the eternal divine path, we have to go over those again when we come back into the new body? Did the people from Adam and all who knew the eternal divine path until the third eyes were closed have to do that also? I mean, they did not have bodies like ours, but they go in and out of their bodies and then have to come back and re-know the eternal divine path like us. Maitreya. Yes, the question is about when we come back and have a new body. We have to go through the meditation, remember past lifetimes, and remember what we knew to that point. Did they also have to do this before that? Apparently, they had a much longer lifespan. As we said, they lived 800 years, 900 years, and 950 years. Also, they matured slower too. They married when they were 150 years. Anytime you die, you leave your ego behind. You really go to God, but your ego is hanging somewhere in the universe waiting for you. The moment you come back to the body, you pick up your ego and you start where you left off. But you have lost your brain. The brain is the place that you have your memory in this lifetime. So when you die, your brain dies and it wipes out. But all of the memory of the universe is where? It is in the Akashic Records. It is like a big server somewhere that not only your computer workstation as your brain has all the memory in it, but the server has all the memory in it also. Therefore, when you come back, if you connect yourself to the server, what do you have? You have all the memories there. You say, okay, these are my memories. But if you never meditated in the previous lifetime, never progressed, do you have anything in the server to download to your station? No, you do not. So you do not have that ability to progress as fast as the person who already has the memory in the universe waiting for them. There has never been a prophet who was not born from a mother. There has never been a prophet who did not go through the regular childhood before he realized that he has a mission to do. So we can see that everyone is born as a child and then they eventually recognize and realize, oh yes. And they are different. From the very beginning, they are usually more meditative children. Somehow everyone realizes that their spirit is different. So yes, you have to go through it, but you go faster. Even they did the same thing. But if you live 900 years, you should reach pure consciousness by then. If you do not make it, probably God says, she is not going to do it, someone else should go. So at the time of the flood of Noah, when God closed the third eyes, he also revealed the teaching or the essence of how to, quote, know thyself, to Noah. And Noah passed it to his children. It was an oral tradition of telling them how to meditate, how to awaken their spiritual forces. He might even have given them the word. They knew about the word. That is why later on the Jewish people called him Yahweh. But at the same time, if you uttered the name of the Lord, you would be stoned. That is because they knew that the name of the Lord, the true name of the Lord, could not be pronounced, could not be uttered outwardly. That is why if they did that, they would be stoned in the Hebrew community. Of course, the teaching which came from Noah to humanity is the mystical teaching. The human did not have any third eye open anymore. They could not have the spiritual eye. They could not see the spirit. Therefore, they needed a teacher. They needed a revealer. They needed someone who could awaken them again to open their third eyes. If you click the presentation, it says, Flood of Noah, Mystical Past, First Seal. The teaching eventually came to us in the written form as the Vedas. The most important part of the Vedas is called the Vedanta. Vedanta means the end of Vedas. When you read the Vedanta, the only thing it talks about is that Atman and Atman are one. Atman, with a small a, is the same as capital Atman, God, with the big A. So the essence of the Vedas, or the mystical past, is to know that you and God are one. Be still and know that I am God. Or, know thyself to know God. Or, self and God are the same. In Persian, God is called Khoda, excuse my pronunciation, is just like Shirina Khoda, the sweetness of God. The self is called Khod. So Khod and Khoda are so similar, aren't they? Instead of saying me, you can say Khod. But if you want to say God, you say Khoda. It is eventually the same thing as Khod. It comes from the same root. So knowing thyself is to know God. You want to know God? Know thyself. Meditate. Close your eyes and quiet the senses to know what God is. Of course, after this flood of Noah, you can go to the next page in the presentation, how many sons did Noah have? The audience answers 3. Maitreya says, 3. What were their names? Audience says, Shem, Japheth, and Ham. Maitreya says, you should not eat Ham. That was good. That was very good. I did not expect you to know the names of the children of Noah. That is good. I expect these guys to know because they have been here for so many years. That is great that you know also. So there were 3 sons. The 3 sons of Noah and 5 classes of humanity. So there were 3 sons of Noah. Before that, always, the Bible says, he had this son, he had this son, and then he had this son. Suddenly, after Noah, God says, he had 3 sons. No longer was it, he begot that, and he begot that. Suddenly, Noah had 3 sons. It is because these 3 sons were a new kind of human. They did not have their third eyes open anymore. They did not have all the qualities. They no longer were paraviprasas. They were symbols of the 5 classes of humanity that were created for the last 12,000 years. Ham represents the Shudras, or workers, and warrior classes. Japheth represents the intellectual and business people, and Shem represents the spiritual beings that come to us. That is why most of the people who come as Abraham, David, and the great prophets all came from the lineage of Shem. There is nothing that came from Ham or Japheth. Why these 5 classes? Why did God create these 5 classes? Go to the next topic, which is cyclical movements in the study of the 5 classes in the society. God created them because God had a plan. Now, with these 5 classes, God could control the history of humanity and bring it to this point. He said there were 5 classes. There were Shudras, or workers. What do workers do? The most important thing to the worker is, where is the next meal coming from? They work hard to make their life comfortable. As long as they have their physiological and safety needs taken care of, what do? They are satisfied. They watch the football games. They have no other ambition in life but to just have their physiological and safety needs taken care of. If they take care of that, they are happy, like a clam. So just imagine these workers are working in the village, and there is a big volcano by the village. It is rumbling and putting fire up. All these Shudras are saying, hey, this is God angry. They are worshiping the mountain, and they are afraid of going over to see what it is. Suddenly one of them says, I want to go up to see what is up there. The other villagers say, no, do not do that. God is there. He is going to kill you if you go up there. Probably some of them went up there, fell into the volcano, and died. Or the legend was, if you go up there, you are going to die. He says, no, I am going to go and look. He goes there and looks. It is just a volcano making ashes and smoke. He comes back. The moment he comes back, everyone starts worshiping him. They say, hey, he went and saw the God and came back, and he was not afraid. So he is God himself now. What does he become? He becomes the chief of them. They worship him. That was the courageous one. He was more courageous than a Shudra was. The courageous one became the chief of the tribe. Then 2 chiefs and 3 chiefs came together and became a bigger group. Eventually, they created nations and empires. That is when the period of the warriors, or the kingly period, started. Of course, it started with Nimrod. Nimrod was the first one who became a mighty king, and eventually it came to Nebuchadnezzar, who was the head of gold of the statue. He was the highest among the warrior class. As the empire expanded, what did they need? They needed someone to manage it, to create armies, to create clerks, to create a bureaucracy, a kind of way to take care of the business while the king is going to war and doing things. So they started to have prime ministers and intellectuals who take care of the different aspects of the war, or created war machines. Who creates war machines? They are created by those who are scientific-minded, the intellectuals. So intellectuals started becoming more and more prominent in the king's court. They reached a point that they kept the king up there, but they really were the people in charge. One of the characteristics of the intellectuals is that they love comfort and sensual gratification. That is why the money they earn from their work is spent to buy material things. Who do they buy them from? They buy from the business people. So the business people started to become more powerful. The zenith of the intellectual time was the Renaissance. It is just what happened in France. In that period, the intellectuals became the greatest power on earth. The period of the business people started at the time of the Industrial Revolution. In the Industrial Revolution, we are spending all of our money and things on to purchase the goodies that the Industrial Revolution brought to humanity. Of course, it brought a higher standard of living at the same time. The Shudras, the warriors, and the intellectuals, all the three classes at the time of the Vaishyan, businessmen era, became what? They became Shudras. They became workers. Then what happened? If you are a worker, you are a manual worker, somewhere working for a business. If you are an intellectual, you go to the university. When you get your degree, where do you go to work? You go to work for a business or a company. If you are a warrior or you have a warrior capabilities, who hires you? Businessmen hire you. You become a security guard or you go to the army. And who controls the army? Business people control the army. So we can see that even the army and all those people, they become the slaves of the businessmen. Of course, this does not have to stay forever. Eventually, the warrior class and the intellectual class cannot take it anymore. As we said, there are a lot of people who do not like the things happening in the world right now. They, of course, will get together and the new cycle will start and it will go over and over. So that is why God created these five classes. The Brahmin class, or spiritual people, never involved in this cyclical movement because they are not attached to it. They do not need the warriors or the Shudras or the businessmen or the intellectuals. They're just sitting out and telling the people, hey, this is an illusion. You guys are caught in this illusion. Get out of it. All of this just is nothing. You can just get along, create communities of light, gain the power of your life, and live happily ever after. Your goal is not to have all these goodies in your life, but to become divine. So they never really were connected to the cyclical movement in the society. Of course, this explanation has been given by Baba. He brought the idea of the Prout, Progressive Utilization Theory, and he explained this cyclical movement, but he never explained how historically it has happened. The mission explained how it historically happened. So the cyclical movement is, first, the Shudras, workers who just work and they are happy. Then the warrior class comes, which we said were the kingdoms and the empires. Then it was the intellectual class, and then the Vaishyan class, business class. In the time of the workers, as we said, the warrior class easily took over the workers because they saw he was a hero. He went to the top of the mountain. They accepted him as a leader. There was no revolution or anything that happened. At the time of the intellectual class, they snuck into the king's palace and little by little took over. There was no big revolution that happened. But at the time of the business people, because they make every other class Shudras, that is where the idea of Marx and Engels comes that they talked about, the idea of thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. Anything has an antithesis. Anything in the universe always has an opposite to it. That is why they fight with each other and eventually they either merge together or one of them overcomes whatever happens, either merges whatever comes, it becomes the synthesis. Then, with that, the synthesis itself becomes the thesis. That is going to have an antithesis, and on, it goes on forever. They come up with the idea of the worker is against the rich people, business people. So that is the thesis and antithesis. And that is eventually going to become a communist revolution. But they never explained what happened after that. The communist idea comes, that becomes another thesis. What is the antithesis of communism? They never explain that. Also, we saw that the communist ideology did not work. After 70 years, Russia fell apart. Then it became what? It now has become a more business-orientated than any other country. This explanation explains how the cycle continues, but the only place, as we said, the revolution might happen is at the time of the business people, everyone becomes Shudras, and they revolt against that idea. Paraviparas are the people who are going to smooth the transition of these cyclical movements by realizing where humanity is, what is the next step that should come, and therefore they smooth it out. It becomes a rise, an evolutionary step, instead of a revolution that will happen in every situation that businessmen take over. I'm not going to go into too much detail. It is probably a topic that we covered once for the whole lecture. It is a long, long, very complicated topic. The next topic in the outline is historical explanation. That was the four classes that we just covered. But there was another plan that was a spiritual plan for the last 12,000 years, and that was when God chose Abraham, promised his children, and all of that. That was the spiritual plan after the flood of Noah. There were two plans. One was the spiritual plan of the Judeo-Christian Islamic Baha'i faith, and the other was the mystical plan, the mystical part of the plan, which these religions did not emphasize at all. I would like to pause at this time, and I will turn the mic over to someone to read. Shalom, everyone.